Well, hello, fellow baseball and fantasy baseball nuts, and a big warm welcome to the very best seat in the house if fantasy baseball is your game, behind home plate. This is episode 17. My name's Johnny Gould, and thankfully, given my notorious reputation not in the world of fantasy baseball, I am joined by the fantasy baseball legend that is my good friend, James Holman. Jimbo!
Hello, Jonathan. Hello, hello.
It's an early hour for a recording, but as an observant listener, such as you all our listeners, obviously, they will have noticed that we've missed a week, Jimbo.
Yeah, I think we were having our own all-star break, weren't we, John?
Just devoid of stars, but you're absolutely right. And if only. And obviously, apologies to all our listeners. It has been one incredibly busy last week, which is the basic reason. But also, you've been getting completely carried away with some football tournament that's going on.
It's very nervous times for an Englishman. So for anybody outside of the UK, England have made it to the final of the European Football Championships. So on the precipice of history, maybe.
You know what? I was one of the few to be alive the last time we were in a major championship final. Of course, the World Cup final of 1966. So we are talking 55 years. So I think as a nation, we have the right to get excited, haven't we?
We do. We do. Absolutely. I was reasonably confident until now. I'm not Italy are the number one team in the world for a reason, I think. So we will see what happens on Sunday, but hopefully a good game for everybody.
Jimbo, I just want to reassure you, Johnny the Jinx is having no part to play in this issue. I am not putting any money anywhere on Italy, on England, or anywhere. So let the nation settle down and enjoy, and fingers crossed it all turns out right on the night. But that's football. Let's get back to baseball. If you want to get in touch, do email us on behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com. You can contact us, of course, on Twitter. The show Twitter handle is @BHPpod. Or you can contact us directly. My Twitter handle is @JohnnyMGould, M from Michael. And Jimbo, far more sexy, @Jam99. Makes you sound like a DJ. Lots of you continue to be in touch, and we appreciate it. Keeping James very busy with some fancy baseball questions. And again, going to use a few of your questions in today's show. Now, with that all done, today's show, you mentioned the All-Star break, Jimbo, and this being our final show before the All-Star break, today is a behind home plate All-Star special. So the first batter up, I want to talk with some of the wider activities going on over the All-Star break. And one of my favorite moments, having been to three back in 2006, 2007, and 2008, when we covered the All-Star game live for Channel 5, one, if not the greatest TV experience of my life. And one of my absolute all-time favourites, of course, is the Home Run Derby. So we're going to be talking about that. Second batter up, something I've really been looking forward to, more important than the actual All-Stars voted for by the public, it's the Behind Home Plate All-Star team, chosen by us, chosen by you, Jimbo, predominantly, and chosen by me. This is the most deserving and unexpected fantasy baseball stars of the first half season. Don't forget that. This is fantasy baseball style, so not the starters that are officially happening in the All-Star. And finally, as always, this week's suitcase to key pickups for the week from Jimbo and, of course, a Hail Mary.
And no doubt a lengthy and in-depth review of last show's Hail Mary.
Last show's Hail Mary. I'm racking my brains. Can't remember who that was, who you referenced. But sadly, I doubt we're going to have any time whatsoever. Something to do with was home base or something. Was there something to do with garden sheds or something along those lines? Anyway, I have no idea what you're referring to.
Yeah.
How did he get on? Did he do all right? I think he hit a couple of home runs, if I remember rightly, which is not bad. Thank you very much.
He did. I think the two hits he's had in the 2 weeks since.
Oh dear. So I'm going to keep my gob shut and leave you to do the Hail Mary from now on, because that was an absolute shocker. Although he is at least hitting power and he is still in the lineup. So that is a bonus.
Exactly.
Right. Battle one, the All-Star break. So it's not just the All-Star game that takes place in the All-Star break. For those of you not aware, the day before this year, of course, Monday, June the 11th, is one of my favorite events, and that is the Home Run Derby. So much fun. And of course, no Home Run Derby in 2020 due to COVID-19 pandemic. So Pete Alonso, the 2019 champion, will be back and attempting to repeat his performance. Although, of course, Toronto Blue Jays slugger Vlad Guerrero Jr. set all kinds of records in 2019. But it was actually Alonso who ended up winning the event. So, Jimbo, first of all, for our listeners out there perhaps not so accustomed to the All-Star game, let alone the Home Run Derby, tell us a little bit more.
So as you say, it's not always the hitter who gets the most home runs who wins the overall tournament. You actually go through a system of rounds. So what you'd call in America, you would call a bracket. Here we might talk about having a quarterfinal, semifinal, and final. So you get paired off, and you know, if you win your round, you go through to the next one. So in each of those, the quarterfinal and semifinal, batters have 3 minutes to launch as many home runs as they can, and then 2 minutes in the final. You can call a timeout for 45 seconds to get your breath back. And equally, you get extra time if you launch any enormous home runs over 475 feet.
Okay, so who is in it this year? We've already mentioned previous show, the first name up, which I was so excited. Shohei Ohtani, who for my money is the MVP this year. But who else has agreed? We need seven more names.
Yeah, so there's some quite interesting matchups, really. So you've got Matt Olson against Trey Mancini. So Olson of the Athletics, Mancini of the Orioles. Joey Gallo, who's been hitting loads of home runs recently, against Trevor Story. You've got Sal Perez against Peter Alonso. And then what I think is arguably the most interesting matchup, actually, Shohei Ohtani against Juan Soto.
No! Soto? Fantastic! Well, that's... I mean, as if my fantasy season wasn't going bad enough already. The $71 I invested in Soto that has not produced at all is clearly going to go right up the Swanee now, as the home run derby does what it always does, and that is ruin a man's swing. Anyway, more on that later. I'm really surprised to see Soto in it. That does surprise me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he is not one of the top eight home run hitters that we've seen in baseball this season. But as you know, several players turned down the opportunities. So somebody like Ronnie Acuna has decided not to take part, despite him having about 20 more home runs than Soto.
Well, and presumably this part of the reason why players would turn it down, because it's great for profile, it's a great event, it's loads of fun, is what I would call the curse of the home run derby. I've seen it. I've witnessed it, where players who are swinging so well go into the home run derby and in this really artificial environment, and then they lose their timing when it comes to going back to the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, there are an awful... If you search home run derby myths, you'll find an awful lot of sort of information out there. And I'm sure there's a lot of anecdotal information, and there will be plenty of examples of it. A statistician such as me, who likes to look at the numbers, I would say it doesn't really work like that. And if you went to Fangraphs, for example, online, a brilliant site if you like the statty side of baseball, they've done some excellent work on it. You probably need a PhD to understand the article, but ultimately the conclusion is that no, there are players who go off the boil, but that's not to do with the home run derby itself. So we should see. So yeah, your fantasy teams, theoretically, do not worry if you have one of those eight players on your fantasy team. But more importantly, Johnny, than the jinx, who is your money on to win the home run derby?
Well, given how well Soto's swinging the bat, not, I think Ohtani's guaranteed a place in the semi. So I'm going with Shohei. He's been phenomenal season, so I'm going to stick with the big man.
Yeah, I think it's pretty hard to bet against him, isn't it, judging by how many home runs he's hit. But if you want a wild card, I think there's two other sluggers in there who are doing fantastic work at the moment. So it's Joey Gallo and Matt Olson. But Gallo's almost doing so well, and I do have him on several teams. So I'm going to go for a player I have on no fantasy teams and wish I did. Matt Olson. That's all I think. So Shohei from you, Matt Olson from you.
Are we going to have a little personal £1 on this? Whose player goes furthest?
They're beginning to add up, aren't they, these £1? We're almost up to the stage where we might owe each other one whole beer. But yes, why not? Why not? You just, as ever, nick the favourite and I'll try.
That's the beauty of going first, mate. Okay, in control of the mic. So that's batter number one. Looking forward to that. That's all happening on Monday. Let's get up to batter number two. And what a team this would be, the behind home plate All-Stars, fancy All-Stars. So what's the criteria for this team, Jimbo?
Well, Johnny, we've talked a lot about value in fantasy. So, you know, we talk about the player where you can make the most value compared to where you would have had to pay for somebody in an auction draft, or what round you would have drafted them for in March. So this isn't necessarily the absolute best players. There is no Vlad Guerrero Jr. in our team. There's no Ronnie Acuna, because you'd have had to pay big money. Equally, all of these players have delivered excellent fantasy seasons. And in fact, many of them, some of them, I should say, are at the All-Star game. So do not go wrong. And I think You know, not many of these players would have been drafted in fact, none of these players would have been in the top 100 in March, and most of them are outside of the top 200 off the waiver wire. So these are cheap players. All of these players you would absolutely want on your team now.
Sounds good. Okay, well, kick us off. Who's the catcher for the BHP All-Stars?
Catcher, we're going with Omar Narvaez of Milwaukee. He's had a sensational season. You probably could have picked him up off the waiver wire in the first couple of weeks of the season. He's rocking an average just under 300. Great OBP. He's been fantastic for Milwaukee this season.
Okay, well, I'll come in with the first baseman, and I think it's an obvious choice. Jared Walsh, ESPN ADP of 169, but absolutely outstanding for the Angels. 22 home runs, 64 RBs, RBIs already. Top 75 player for next year. So you don't see this as a flash in the pan. You're convinced that this is Jared Walsh that we expect to see producing year in, year out.
Yeah, I think Walsh is for real. There's always a few players. We had Mike Yastrzemski a couple of years ago who come through at more sort of older ages. Walsh is 27 rather than Yastrzemski was older than that. But he's absolutely for real. All of his underlying stats absolutely, you know, fulfill. And I think he will continue to hit home runs and RBIs in the second half of the season. Anybody who's picked up Walsh, particularly if they got him at, you know, pick 170, is going to be very, very happy with their team.
Yeah. Okay. Second base.
Second base, a man I know you have in a couple of places, Chris Taylor.
Yes!
Of the LA Dodgers. Yes, a bit of a journeyman, mainly the Dodgers, but he's been around a veteran presence for many years. But actually this season, he's been absolutely superb. He is going to the All-Star game. He's already scored 60 runs this season. For your fantasy team, multi-position eligibility, and you could have picked him up at about pick 180 back in March. And if you look at, you know, what he's been delivering as a sort of a top five second baseman, shortstop, outfielder, fantastic value.
And mate, in my situation, in the auction draft league that I have him in, I got him off the waiver wire at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, that is a phenomenal. That's my best pickup of the whole season, without any shadow of a doubt. Okay, third base. Now, this is someone that interests me because I picked him up, I dropped him, I picked him up again. And that is Jonathan India, Cincinnati. Seventh most value of all third basemen off waivers. And obviously, I also just want to give a special mention to my boy, Kane Falefa. I know he's had a terrible couple of weeks, but prior to the last 2 weeks, I think it would have been him, but you can't argue with India.
No, I think that's right. I think Kane Falefa has had a brilliant season for Texas. He's been leading off, but as you say, recently he's been dropped down the order. He's gone ice cold. I think if we'd done our dream team 2 weeks ago, he would have been our starting third baseman, but he's not. Jonathan India has been red, red hot, so he gets the place. Shortstop, I think one of my favourite picks in the whole of the team, a guy I have nowhere and have looked at on waiver wires for weeks on end, and now, of course, he's gone everywhere, and that is Brandon Crawford, yeah. The absolute heart of the San Francisco Giants lineup. So, again, a player who hasn't been hot for about 4 years, but now already has 17 home runs, 55 RBIs, as the Giants continue to be a really, really strong force in the National League West.
Defy logic, quite frankly. Okay, moving into the outfield. Now, this is one I like because this was an early suitcase pick, if I remember rightly, and that is of Baltimore, Cedric Mullins. 16 home runs, 15 stolen bases. What's not to like?
Yeah, I think Mullins has been fantastic for Baltimore, and he's another one similar to Jared Walsh. I think people go, oh, yeah, should I have him? Should I not? But he will absolutely be a top 100 pick next year. There always are breakout players every year. It's brilliant to see them, and it's nice that actually for once we managed to call him out early enough, so hopefully people did pick him up. I'm going to give you another player on a sort of an unpopular team, but a team that you don't necessarily always look to for fantasy, and that is Joey Gallo of Texas. So actually this year, you could have got Gallo for about the 130th pick. That's where his ADP was. But actually, he has been sensational, particularly over the last month. And actually, if you look in terms of the most valuable outfielders in fantasy baseball, Gallo is second only to Acuna. He chucks in a few steals to go with all those home runs as well.
And he has outfield eligibility now.
Yeah, great.
It does. Okay, fantastic. Right, well, another outfielder that I don't think anybody would have predicted is Brian Reynolds, 200th off the board, but steady fancy value. Not spectacular, but just very consistent. He's got an average over 300. And I know this was a big toss-up, actually, for you between him, Brian Reynolds, and Jesse Winker, of course, of the Cincinnati Reds. But actually, Reynolds is slightly more value.
Yeah, Absolutely. They're pretty similar, but I think Winker's still a bargain at pick 130, and everybody who's got him would love him. But yeah, if we're talking the absolute most value delivered, Reynolds has delivered more for the cost he would have had you. And then you're right, okay, we're having a utility bat. I'm going to actually go to the outfield again. It's hard not to go for Adolis Garcia of Texas. So in most leagues, he'd have come off the waiver wire. A few of you would have picked him up around pick 210. But actually, you know, for that 210th pick or for whatever you spent for him off the waiver wire, 21 home runs, 8 stolen bases. That is absolutely going to help your fantasy team.
Yeah, right. Well, we need a pitching staff as well. And I'm going to kick things off, if that's all right, Jimbo, because if there's one player that I absolutely gutted I did not go for, and that is from the San Francisco Giants starting pitching, Kevin Gausman. You could have picked him up around, 120-odd? And yet, he's produced the third most valuable fantasy pitcher so far this season. I mean, he has been lights out.
He's been phenomenal. And again, there is nothing to suggest that will not continue into the second half of the season. So we'll talk about the second half but next year. But if you are doing any kind of mid-season drafts, Gausman is absolutely a player I will be targeting as somebody, as a veteran who may well go on and get quite a few innings in the second half of the season.
Brilliant. Okay.
So to go to Gausman, he needs some. We're going to have 3 starters. Next, I'm going for Freddie Peralta of Milwaukee. Peralta has been threatening a breakout. You know, he's always been somebody we thought had the potential. But yeah, you could have picked him up in the top 150 or spent, you know, $2 or $3 on him in an auction league. And actually, he again has been a top 10 fantasy starting pitcher this year. So Freddie Peralta, brilliant value.
And big reason why the Brewers are competitive this season is how good their starting pitching has been, of which Peralta has been a major player. Now, this is my personal favourite, buddy, because as you know, I have this man. and my Lord, what a return. And that is, of course, Trevor Rogers, ADP outside the top 200. I mean, just stunning when you look back on the consistency of his performances. This is no flash in the pan. It is week in, week out. I cannot believe he had an ADP outside the top 200 when you look at the performances he's produced.
It's shocking. Well, we always have slightly over. I mean, he has got wins, actually. But, you know, Miami is fast turning into an incredible starting pitcher factory. And we're seeing plenty of them in the majors already. And the minor leagues are stuffed to the gills with more pitching talent. So it's becoming a really interesting place there. But, yeah, we talked about Rogers. We knew the talent was there. But I don't think anybody saw it being this good this far into the season. So amazing story. If I can just have a couple of honourable mentions, I know we've only got 3, so we've got Gausman, Peralta and Rogers, but honourable mentions in terms of the value they've delivered. Carlos Rodon of the White Sox, again, probably on your waiver wire, and Anthony Desclafani of San Francisco, definitely on your waiver wire at the beginning of the season.
Oh, and a former suitcase pick who, indeed, annoyingly, you followed your own suggestion and you've got him in pretty much every team in your 400 fantasy baseball leagues.
Yeah, he is one of our suitcases. I actually, yeah, exactly, did pick up everywhere. And I'm pretty, apart from one absurd blow up where I think he gave up 10 earned runs against the Dodgers, he's been phenomenal against everybody else. So, and it's all about value. Both of those guys, Rodon and Desclafani, almost certainly on the waiver wire at the beginning of the season, have really delivered.
Yeah, well, you don't start your starters against the Dodgers. Simple lesson, which keep ignoring. Ignored only this week. Got myself caned. Anyway, that's another story. What about some relief pitch?
Yes, we should, shouldn't we? So I will give you Matt Barnes, who is the Boston closer. Yep. 19 saves, absolutely amazing ratios, a hell of a lot of strikeouts as well. I think sometimes we forget the role that relievers can play in terms of strikeouts and ratios. And again, he's somebody you could have picked up outside the top 200 picks at the beginning of the season.
Well, and this is interesting because the player I'm going to throw at you has similar profile, as in not considered elite, not considered a lock in to be a great closer, let alone consistent closer. And I'm going to suggest Mark Melancon, former Brave, can't believe we didn't re-sign him, leads the majors with 26 saves from an AD pick of 195.
Yeah, I think the Padres, I mean, they haven't paid a lot of money for him. You wouldn't have had to pay a lot of money for him at the beginning of the season, but Melancon has absolutely had a phenomenal, I mean, 26 saves by the All-Star break is a great way to kind of give a solid base to your fantasy team.
Brilliant stuff, Jimbo. Fantastic. That is the behind home plate fantasy All-Stars, and I have to be honest, it would make one hell of a fantasy team. Would be challenged to lead in most leagues, I reckon. And of course, not one of them taking the top 100 picks of almost any draft back in March. Hardly any even in the top 150. And yet there we've produced a league winning side for you. Now, we've had a really fascinating question from a listener. I do want to get this in, Jim, about the opposite of what we've been talking about. This is Chris Bailey. Thank you, Chris, for this. This is what he said. Are there any players this year that will start at the All-Star game because they are an amazing player, but when it comes to fantasy, they're not really worth a spot on your roster? Now, what Chris is thinking about is this is like N'Golo Kante for Chelsea, the midfielder. Brilliant player, MVP in the Champions League final, invaluable to Chelsea, to France, but in fantasy terms, costs virtually nothing for those who play fantasy football. Why? Because he just doesn't produce fantasy points. Any baseball equivalents, Jimbo?
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant question, actually. You know, the role of your sort of water-carrying midfielder who keeps the team. I think in a similar way to kind of the role that N'Golo Kante plays for Chelsea, you're almost looking for a defensive wizard on a massively popular team, aren't you? Who's somebody, you know, who's valued for their fantasy rather than their defense rather than their offense. Or occasionally you have sort of a veteran leader on a very popular team whose stats don't live up to their kind of the size of their name.
You're not referring to the ghost of the sort of aging Derek Jeter by any chance, are you, Jim?
I think Derek Jeter is the best example ever we've had of a player named to multiple All-Star games when there was almost always somebody who'd actually delivered more from a baseball and fantasy baseball point of view. Yes,
he was Mr. Baseball, mate. That's why I've got his signed baseball in montage downstairs. £50 worth 500.
I'm only interested in the stats, Johnny. So yes, earning power enormous, fantasy value less. But and occasionally the other thing, just to answer Chris's question, yeah, a very injured superstar. So you know, for this year, absolutely, player that you know is a starter for the All-Star game, but isn't worth a spot on your fantasy roster this year is Mike Trout. So, you know, Mike Trout has been injured almost all season. He's been incredibly infuriating. You'd have spent your first round pick on him. You'd have spent a significant amount of your auction budget on it. He's an amazing player, but he should not be an All-Star this day's season. There are many other much more deserving players, many of whom we've already put in the behind home plate All-Star team. So,
I had this very conversation, by the way, with Dave Lengel and Josh Chetwin on the Johnny and Josh show. And Dave's response was hilarious. He just said, "You don't leave God out of the lineup," and I think that sort of personifies, isn't it? When you're as good as he is, even when you're not playing, you're still considered an all-star. But I agree with you. I totally agree. It's complete nonsense. He's not even going to play, even though he's in the starting lineup, the all-star. Why? Because he's injured. He's been injured all season. Of course, he's not going to play. So anyway, yes, 100%. Right, let's move on. Batter number three, and this, of course, is the suitcase. Quick reminder for our listeners: Jimbo's going to come up with a player or players that are rostered in less than 20% on average of all ESPN fantasy baseball leagues. So, who are you packing this week, Jim? Start with the hitters, please.
Hitters. Well, I'd say there's good weeks and bad weeks. I'd say looking through the ranks of who's available, actually, it feels not a bad time if you've got an injury. There are some players who are sort of hot. So, I'll give you a couple of infielders, a couple of outfielders. So, infielders, Nico Hoerner, second base shortstop for the Cubs. He is back from a month out with a hamstring strain, and his average is well over 300. So if you are in need of average and on base, Nico Hoerner is somebody I would look for the Cubs. And if you just need somebody as a temporary fill-in, Starlin Castro of the Washington Nationals is red hot at the moment. Homers, runs, RBIs, I don't think that'll last forever, but he is red hot at the moment. Outfielders, a steady player come back from injury, Garrett Cooper of Miami, seeing the ball well, pretty steady presence, will get those counting stats coming in, eligible or outfield as well. And the player I really like for the long haul is Trevor Larnach of Minnesota. Really solid on base percentage. I do think Minnesota could and should be better in the second half, depending on how much of the thing they sell off.
Okay, and what about pitching?
Pitching, again, interesting. So if you do need a starter, there's Kwang Hyun Kim. We suggested him 2 weeks ago. He's picked up two wins with really good ratios since. I think he'll be steady rather than amazing. And we are getting to that kind of ratios part of the season where you kind of need to look at relievers who are starting pitcher eligible. So I will give you the name of Colin McHugh of Tampa Bay, only rostered in about 10% of leagues. You know, this season he's delivered you two wins, 53 strikeouts in only about 35 innings, a 1.77 ERA, a 0.86 whip. And I would encourage you to compare McHugh's stats against the stats of the fifth or sixth starter that you're rostering to work who will be adding more value to your team. And then a couple of closers, as ever, closers on the wire, not outstanding ones, but they are the current closers for their teams. Heath Hembry of Cincinnati, he's got three saves and a blown save this week. He seems to be the preference for Cincinnati closer. And Joaquim Soria is back as the Arizona Diamondback closer.
It's like musical chairs, isn't it, in Arizona? Joaquim's back! Love it. A big question, of course, though, when you consider the teams you're referencing, particularly Arizona, is will they actually get a game to close? I do feel for the D-backs, my lord. Okay, brilliant stuff, mate. Thank you very much. I'll be looking at that in more detail once we get off air. Let's focus now on the Hail Mary. Again, a quick reminder, that is a player that's rostered in less than 1% of league. When are we going to double that? Because I did say to you we could double it up to 2% to give you something to work with. And obviously, I've learned my lesson, Jimbo. I'm not making any suggestions this week after the shed disaster of 2 weeks ago.
No, he wasn't. He's got his two home runs. If you needed power, he's done what it says on the tin. But yes, I'm not sure he's going to be. We've had some good ones, and he'll go in the box of people we don't talk about anymore, along with many of mine. I'm actually going to give you not one, but I've got two Hail Marys this week, JT.
Oh, wow.
I was excited, and both of them are hitters. And one is because he's a Brave. So at shortstop, Orlando Arcia of Atlanta. He was a really good minor leaguer many years ago. Then he was brought up with great expectations at Milwaukee, and it never really happened for him there. He didn't hit well. Traded to the Braves this offseason, and actually he's been phenomenal in our minor leagues, hitting for power all the time, which is very unlike him. And actually, he's been called up this week, and he started to hit well, including for power. So the Braves need to mix it up. I don't know. It's just one of those ones that could this end up running for the rest of the season.
Jim, I saw him in the lineup the other night, and he wasn't playing shortstop. So if they continue that, he'll get some sort of further positional eligibility.
I think we need help, as you know, at third base and left field much more. We've got Dansby at shortstop, so I think that's where they'll be trying him out.
Yeah,
third base, left field, and
I'm burnt by him though. I mean, I picked him up on a couple of occasions in previous seasons, and he was terrible. So I'm struggling. I'm going to have to wait for Orlando to do it over a period of time before I'm going to show any interest. But
that's okay.
Hey.
Well, maybe you will be more interested in my other one this week, Johnny, which is outfielder Brian Goodwin of the White Sox.
Love Brian.
He is a journeyman, but he's helped fantasy teams in the past in short spins. So with Adam Eaton being non-tendered this week by the White Sox, Goodwin should start getting almost everyday appearances. You know, the White Sox is a good lineup. You know, there are going to be stats to have there. And until, you know, you get your Luis Robert, your Eloy Jimenez is back, I think they will run with Goodwin for a month or two. So, you know, again, rostered in just 1% of ESPN leagues, worth a punt.
And Jimbo, what's not to like about the name? Goodwin. I'll take any win. I'll take good or bad. But yeah, love it. Love it. And
thank
White Sox.
Thank you, JG. Yeah.
Mate, I'm looking for any omen, any sort of, you know, any reason to pick somebody up. That's as good a one as I can come up with. Right. Brilliant stuff, buddy. Well, we'll come back and check out your two Hail Mary. That was a little bit excessive of you to go with two. I mean, you could have held one on the back and used him next week.
Yeah, I think that may have been foolish in retrospect, mate. I'll be struggling, scrabbling around for the next few weeks. But yeah, we'll see.
Great stuff, mate. Thank you, as always. Do hope you've enjoyed listening in. For those of you who do want to get in touch, quick reminder, the email behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com. You can contact us on Twitter. The show's Twitter handle, @BHPpod. My personal Twitter handle, @JohnnyMGould. M is for Michael. And Jimbo is, of course, on @Jam99. Thank you, Jimbo. I know you've got up at the crack of dawn. You've been very, very busy. And obviously to you all for your questions, please do keep them coming in. What's your thoughts, Jim? We've what is it? It's Friday. We've got 2 days to go to the big one. Give us your fantasy expert and analysis of England's chances.
I don't know.
That speaks 1,000 words. That grunt. That said it all. You don't need to say anything else, mate. We're stuck.
I don't know. Obviously, I would love us to win. I think it'd be brilliant for England and for the broader UK. I think it'd be fantastic. But I think Italy are an exceptionally good side, and maybe we haven't talked enough about them yet. So I hope it's a great game. I'd love us to win. I think Italy are a really good team.
There's only one thing I think that gives us a chance. One, they are significantly older than us. And two, they played a full 30 minutes of extra time, as did we. And I think we, even though they've had a day more to recover, I just think we've got more in the legs. Plus, we've got players on the bench that have hardly played at all who are superstars. So if Gareth really has to throw out the wild card, I think we've got wild cards to play. And I think that's the one thing that gives us hope. Hope is eternal, my friend. And I certainly will be sitting there behind the sofa, hiding behind the sofa as I was in the semi-final, keeping everything crossed and wishing them well. Jumbo, as always, you're an absolute legend. I'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, on the Johnny and Josh show at the weekend. Do hope you'll be listening in on that as well. And of course, James and I will endeavour to be here next week on Behind Home Plate to talk about the second half of the baseball season and, of course, all its implications for fantasy baseball. I do hope you all enjoy the All-Star break, as we will do. I think it's a good time to sit back, enjoy, reconnect with your other half and tell them fantasy baseball. No, it doesn't mean nearly as much to me as you do, my darling. And obviously, don't mention the fact that you've got 3 days off. That's it from us. Jumbo, thank you, mate. Legend.
Pleasure, as always, Jonathan. See you soon.
Fantastic. Do join us next week for the best seat in the house behind home plate.